ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुः श्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदं माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्यां मा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणं मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्माः ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु। ॐ शान्ति 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 हरिः। ॐ ॐ मे मै लिम्स् स्पीच् वैटल् फोर्स् ऐस् इयर्स् एज़ आल्सो स्ट्रेंथ एंड ऑल दि ऑर्गन्स बिकम वेल डेवलप्ड एवरीथिंग इज दि ब्रह्मन रिवील्ड इन दि उपनिषद्स। मे आई नॉट डिनाई ब्रह्मन मे नॉट ब्रह्मन डिनाई मी लेट देर बी नो स्पर्निंग ऑफ मी बाय ब्रह्मन लेट देर बी नो रिजेक्शन ऑफ ब्रह्मन बाय मी। मे ऑल दि वर्च्यूज दैट आर स्पोकन ऑफ इन दि उपनिषद्स रिपोज इन मी who am engaged in the pursuit of the self, may they repose in me. Om, peace, peace, peace be unto all. We are studying the Samvarga Vidya, a special, very special type of contemplation where the individual can feel his identity with the universal. Vyashti can become one with samashti. As we all know, samashti means everything, universal, cosmic. Yasti means a small part of it. So the samashti always contains the individuality. But the individual may be ignorant that I am part of the samashti, I am one with the universal, and all our problems come because we think we are separate from everything in this world. Not only we are separate from everything, everybody, but we think our very body is separate. Our hands are different. Our legs are different. These are all separate parts. Though related, though connected, they are separate. But we will have to contemplate that I am part of the universe. That is to say, I see everything in me, I see myself in everything. What happens then? So somebody else's unhappiness becomes my unhappiness. There is no somebody else. It is me only. My happiness becomes everyone's happiness, and everyone's happiness or unhappiness, good and evil, become mine. That is for the beginning. But as we progress in this Samvarga Vidya, what happens? Something magical happens. When we identify ourselves with everybody, who is the killer, who is the killed, who is the wicked person, who is the right person. After all, when we analyze a little bit, a person who does harm to somebody, somebody else, other than himself, that person is called a wicked person. But when a person understands, I am everything, then who is the wicked person? Me. Who is doing harm to me? Me. And who is suffering from this wicked person? Me. So, for that, to make this understanding easier, the Upanishads, the scriptures, give the example of dream. In dream, when we are dreaming, then we think everybody is different, everything is different, and I am different, separate from everything else. And so, just like in our waking state,
we experience. Some people love us, some people hate us, some praise, some criticize, etc. But when we come out of the dream, then the praiser and the blamer, the person who gives us happiness and who also gives us unhappiness, it is me only in the as the manifestation of everybody. And when we understand it, it becomes what the Vedantic scriptures call, what especially Sri Ramakrishna calls, Nitya becomes Leela. Everything is as if real. That is why we are able to enjoy a cinema or a drama. How? This is called aesthetic enjoyment. How are we able to understand? Most of the dramas, most of the cinemas, they are ending either in tragedy or in comedy. But tragedy or any number of difficulties is also a part of the scheme of either the drama or the cinema. If everything goes in a most positive way, it will be the most boring drama, boring cinema ever. So there must be contrast. And the more skillful is the contrast, the more frequent is the contrast, whether it is a mystery book or a cinema or a drama, then that becomes most enjoyable. So what happens? Since we are aware that there is no killer, there is no killed, there is no good person, there is no evil person. And that knowledge, with our waking state, in our waking state, comes to us. And the Upanishad also wants to take us further away, that everything originates from something. That is to say, the waking state as well as the dream state, both of them origin in the deep sleep, and they remain in deep sleep for some time, and then they merge back into the deep sleep. When we wake up, we have to clearly understand our origin of the waking state is from the dreamless deep sleep. And we continue for some time what we call the waking state, and then that becomes slowly goes back. On the way, it stays for some time, which is called the dream state, and after that, for quite some time. Do you know how much time? Practically 1/3 of our life, if not more, is spent in this deep sleep state. Even if you take 8 hours a day, and it is not 8 hours actually, I will come to the point very soon. So even if we take minimum 8 hours a day, then 1/3 of our life from birth to death is gone in this state of sushupti or deep sleep. But is it only 1/8? No. First of all, there is another state in between two thoughts. Two objects means two thoughts. Two thoughts have an interval, and that is where there are no thoughts. And that area, no man's land, called thoughtless consciousness, that is where we become identified with ourselves, with pure consciousness. That is one. Then, even when you are listening to my talk, how many other thoughts are intruding into your intellect? How many plans you are making? How many dreams? This is called imaginations. And that also is some state of this, some variety of this deep sleep state only. So what I am trying to tell, those who study Vedanta very deeply, and the some of the acharyas pointed it out to us, that continuously we are experiencing the deep sleep, waking, dream state, again deep sleep, continuously. And in between, there is a gap, time gap. So that is when we say, so many hours waking state. Even if you analyze, you are not paying attention to everything that you are experiencing. Your eyes are looking at something, your ears are hearing something, but your mind, how many times it has gone roamed around the world and then came back. Even Sri Ramakrishna had to tell M, Shuncho, are you listening to what I am saying? Why was Sri Ramakrishna saying? If M had been paying attention, he would not have told him that. But Sri Ramakrishna wants to assure that M listens everything and keeps it in memory so that it will come out later on in the form of the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. Anyway, what I am trying to tell you that our deep sleep state is nearer to the state of Atman, and just like that, the fourth bhuta or element called Vayu, that is the one which universally, cosmically absorbs everything. That is why that is the source of Samvarga. And this particular topic we are discussing is called Samvarga Vidya. We will continue from the fifth onwards. So yesterday we have discussed this one, Janashruti Pautrayana, overheard those words, that is the words of the birds. And whole night he must have been pondering over that. So as soon as he arose, he said to his attendant, and as I mentioned yesterday, that there will be people who want to wake up with positive words. You are a good man, you are unequal in this world, you are the greatest king, and you have the greatest valor, you are a greatest hero, etc. Anyway, probably some power of positive thinking helps them. So, but the king was a discriminating person. Because, how do we know? Because if he did not have the discrimination, he would have become sad. But what did he become? He became afflicted with sadness. What is the sadness? Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Arjuna became afflicted with grief. Arjuna's grief. Grief is always the result of deep pondering of things, deep thinking. So Arjuna thought, in his ignorance, of course, that this war is going to be disastrous. But in the case of the Janashruti, he understood, I am wasting my life, I am doing some social service, no doubt about it, but there are higher things to be looked for, to live for, higher ideals. And by God's grace, somebody awakened me, and they also informed me, O king, that you go to such and such a person and learn. And he was very eager. So his heart was very much afflicted with what? With the thought, how soon can I go to my guru? How soon can I surrender myself to him? How soon can I receive the guidance for my higher spiritual life? The whole Upanishad is nothing but spiritual instruction only. Even when the Upanishads or Vedas advise worldly activities, their ultimate purpose is to purify our hearts and then direct our minds to higher and higher truths. And this we get very clearly in the Mundaka Upanishad. At the very beginning, from the very beginning of the Mundaka Upanishad, they praise all the yajnas, all the sacrifices, fire rituals, very highly, until they are having sufficiently encouraged, inspired a person, you must follow these things. And then in the sixth mantra or so, they come, these are all very true. Whatever we taught you is absolute truth. If you perform this sacrifice, you are sure to get this result. That is called Shraddha. And once a person acquires Shraddha, then his mind becomes purified. Then his eyes open. Okay, the scriptures are talking about rituals. But now, suddenly, the scripture has changed its tune. What is it telling now? These are all absolutely true. But they are inferior activities, and inferior activities will only bring out or result in inferior results. definitely they will give us happiness, but these are lower happinesses. But now you have acquired that faith in the scriptures. Now we will direct your attentions to higher and higher truths. So immediately he says, these are all like broken rafts, broken or defective boats. What does it mean? That boat which takes us across the ocean of samsara is the greatest boat, greatest ship. But the other types of boats, they will drown us in between because they are not travel worthy and their defects. That means rebirth is inevitable if you follow the first part of the Vedas, which is called Karma Kanda. In a sense, what the Upanishad, Mundaka Upanishad is telling, Karma Kanda is a preparation for Jnana Kanda. Once you have satisfied yourself that whatever you do yields the result, because Veda asserts it, confirms it, and through your own experience, you come to know whatever is written in the Veda is absolute truth. Once you have a firm conviction about it, that is called Shraddha, then what the Vedas are talking about your real nature, about God, about Brahman, that also has the same value of truth. And if somebody is offered a choice, you want a lower value or a higher value, excepting fools, nobody will accept a lower value. But then it is very simple to say lower value and higher value. But the rules and regulations, the what is called appendixes that follow, what is it? Do you want immediate happiness with small number of actions, or do you want a long term of action without any result, at least not without much result, but at the end you get eternal result, permanent result, infinite result. So that which gives us smaller immediate result, pleasure, that is called prayaha, that is called dharma, artha and kama. But there is another word used called shreyaha. Shreya means permanent result. Naturally, we have to give up all the prayers, completely eradicate even the desire for Brahmaloka, and then only we can, our mind can settle on God. That is why by reading the lives of biographies of great saints, they always warn us that because you don't get immediate result, you might feel bored, you might feel disinterested, you might even feel discouraged. No, do not do that. But a person who is not ready, he will be discouraged. But a person who is ready, initially he may be discouraged, but not later on. Anyway, that is the background. So, coming back to our this thing, this king was Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampanna Adhikari. So as soon as he heard about the higher truths, how did he hear? There was a great saint and his realization is greater. His spiritual knowledge is much superior. And if anybody becomes like that and realizes what this Raikwa realized, then that happiness becomes incomparable. Shrotriyasya cha akamahatasya. That is what we have to understand. So the king's mind was restless. How soon I can meet? Then what did he say? So that is what we will read here. Saha kshatta anvishya na avidamiti pratyayaya tam ho vacha yatra re brahmanasya anveshana tad enam richaiti. This is the 7th mantra. So the king, as soon as those who praise come and started, he stopped them. He told them that I am not like Raikwa. Previously, I did not stop you because I was very happy to hear I am such and such. And the king also knew he was not merely getting praise, but he was really doing a great social service. and that gives a tremendous amount of content, satisfaction. And so he knows, probably I deserve this praise. But having compared his state with the state of Raikwa, immediately understood. So this is nothing in comparison with what Raikwa, and he was not even a king or a social service doing man. So immediately understood. So he called this person. He may be a charioteer. He may be an attendant. It doesn't matter. Go and search. Saha Kshatta. So he said, go and find out. And whom should I find out? That I told you about Raikwa. And whatever he heard from that bird about the greatness of Raikwa, he told him. But the bird also told, this Raikwa is living in the very same kingdom, but he is always to be found under a tree. So find out first a cart and under that. Then this king also informed him, this is the description I got, you go and search. And then this attendant or attendants went and searched, and they made the mistake that where famous people are there, that is, those who are famous in society, maybe business people, maybe politicians, but none of them knew about it. Only, as they say in English language, peculiar words saying is there. Only one thief knows another thief. That is to say, these people, these so-called great people, whom these attendants went on asking, were not spiritual people. Spiritual persons cannot do it. Recollect, Narendranath was seeking for a God-realized soul so that he can also realize God. So he went to Maharshi Devendranath Tagore and then asked him, sir, have you seen God? I don't want to hear about God. I want to hear whether you have seen, whether there is any direct proof that God really exists. And he did not even dare to say, no, I am not a God-realized person. He never said that. Simply he praised Narendra and said, you have got the eyes of a yogi. And Narendranath was not a fool. He understood, not supposing this person goes to another spiritual aspirant, sincere spiritual aspirant, have you seen God, my friend? And at least he will say, no, I am struggling very much like anybody else, but I have not yet seen God. I haven't obtained his grace. But this person could have told him, but he did not tell for whatever reason. You can guess. Anyway, and Narendra was not satisfied. But on the other hand, his own uncle, or you can say even cousin brother, Ramchandra Datta, he came to know, and Ramchandra Datta had the association of Sri Ramakrishna. He went and told, oh Naren, do not waste your time searching here and there. Go to Dakshineswar and meet Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. And then Narendra was ready, because he is ready to listen, but he is not ready to believe. Just because you tell that he is a great spiritual person, I am not going to trust or believe in it. But I will test for myself. I must know for myself. So, of course, later on he went to Dakshineswar, and we know the peculiar experiences Sri Ramakrishna started telling, you are Narayana and this and that, which, of course, Narendra had become even more skeptical about him. But the same Narendranath, he asked him, sir, have you seen God? Then Sri Ramakrishna's categorical reply was so beautiful. Said, not only have I seen God, I am seeing him more intimately than I am seeing you. Because how can I see God more intimately when I am seeing you? Because still you are at a distance. You may be 3 feet away from me, but God is myself, within me, nearest to me. Atma va are priyatamaha. There is nobody dearer than Atman, because he is the nearest. So that is what Sri Ramakrishna meant, that I can see God even more clearly than I am seeing you, because even you are at a distance. That is the first meaning. What is the second meaning? When I look at you, I am looking at God only, but God with name and form. But when I look within myself, I see directly that God, of course here, the Divine Mother, the Mother of the Universe, Srishti Sthiti Vinashanam, Shakti Bhute Sanatani. So that is what Sri Ramakrishna meant, that I know I am the Atman and I am nearest to myself. Nobody else is so near to myself as my own self. That is what Ramakrishna had meant. And this king, Janashruti, was very eager for that. So the attendants came back and said, "Sir, we asked, inquired of so many people and we did not find it." Then immediately the king, he became an awakened soul. So the Kathopanishad says, "Kshurasya dhara nishita duratyaya durgam patastat kavayo vadanti." Even to search for the essence, a spiritually advanced person, a great conditions, two conditions at least had to be fulfilled. Uttishtata, jagrata, prapya varan, nibodata. Unless you arise, rising from sleep, awake, completely, 100%, open-minded, you cannot even recognize who is a great person, who is not a great person. This applies not only to spiritual life, but it applies to every type of life. Even to recognize a great technician, a great painter, a great musician, or even a great cook, it requires tremendous amount of awakening. Is it so? So, what is there about a great cook? There is a beautiful saying in Hindi language that what does a monkey know? The taste of ginger is a very beautiful saying. Bandar kya jane adarak ka swad. So, there are people who cannot distinguish what is the finest flavor. Any crude, yatayamam, katarasam, puti, paryushitam, uchishtam, amedhyam, tamasapriyam. Give them some first-class food, classical food, they won't appreciate it. What to speak of spirituality? So, immediately the king told them, seek for a spiritual person where spiritual persons are to be found. Where are they to be found? Vivikta desha sevitvam aratihi janasamsadihi. So, find out where places which are without disturbance, that what is called solitary places, and where people would not disturb or make noise, where they can contemplate to their heart's content, seek in such places. So this is what that attendant Saha Kshatta Anvishya, having inquired of Na Avidam. So I did not get any information about this person. Iti Pratyayaya Avochat. After returning, he informed the king, "I could not get any information about this person." Tamho vacha yatrare brahmanasya anveshana tad enam richayati. So the king addressed him, "My friend," you know, sometimes we use even towards lower type of people. "So my friend," like that. "Yatra are brahmanasya anveshana," where Brahmins, here brahmana doesn't mean jati brahmana, a person born into a Brahmin family. That is, those knowers of Brahman. He is called a Brahmana. Brahma vetiti Brahmanaha. Anveshana. Tad enam vichayati. Go and find out such places. So what happened? Naturally, the attendant got a clue where to search. So this time, he knows where to look for. So immediately he went and he started searching. We have to supply it in between what the Upanishad is telling. And then he must have inquired in the villages. "So, do you have any person?" And he will be sitting under a tree and he will be scratching his body because he is suffering from a what is called itchy sensation. And then somebody would have, yes, we always find a person. Nobody bothers to meet him. We don't know how he spends his time. But he is always to be found under a tree. Sa yugvanam. Yugvanam means that a small cart, old cart, useless cart. So this person went, got the information very soon, and he went and saw, the villagers must have told him, you go there, you will find this man. Maybe that is the person you are seeking, or your king is searching for. So this attendant went, saha adastat shakatasya pamanam, so kashamanam upopa vivesha. So he saw from a distance, where shakatasya adastat, beneath an old cart, pamanam kashamanam, his eruptions had risen all over his body, kashamanam, he went on scratching, but he was a great spiritual person. And seeing him, something is there in him, which attracted his attention, and his intuition told him, this must be the person, upavivesha, approached near. What did he do? Tamha abhyavada. He saluted him. Tam means raikvam. Ha abhyavada. Tvam tu bhagavaha sayugva raikva. Are you, hey Bhagavan, oh great person, tvam tu you sayugva, always to be found underneath a cart or with a cart. Are you that raikva? Iti. Of course, the Sanskrit mantras do not put the question marks. Even commas will not be there. Full stops will not be there. Now, whatever we see, the commas, full stops, dashes, etc., these are all modern inventions for our sake. But it goes on and goes. So, in reply to the attendant's inquiry, what did Raikwa do? Are aham hi are iti ha pratijagne. Pratijagne means I replied. What did he reply? Aham hi are. Oh my man, yes, you are inquired about Raikwa. Aham hi iti. I am that Raikwa. Then immediately he must have done one more sastanga pranam, and then sahakshatta avidamiti. Pratyaya means he returned to the king. How did he return? Avidamithi. I have found out. Now I know. Vida means to know. Avida means I have known. Now what the king commanded me to find out, I have that information. Sa kshatta ha. Indeed, that kshatta or that attendant or that driver, whatever it is, he came. Thus ends the first section of this fourth chapter of the Chandogya Upanishad. We are entering, because it is all story only, section 2. Taduha Janashruti Pautrayana. So he must have come, he must have reported, he must have told him exactly where the place, even he must have driven the king. But the king was so eager, but he was a knowledgeable king. What did he do? So he understands. So whenever any person visits a sadhu, or a temple, or a baby, or a king, or a guru, one should always take something. It's so wonderful. This, what is called tradition, had been lost in the 19th century. How do we know? Because Sri Ramakrishna used to visit some of the Brahmo members, even some of our Hindu devotees, and then at first they have lost that tradition. So Sri Ramakrishna used to say that, can you give me a glass of water? And of course, Bengal, there is a beautiful tradition. So they call it that if somebody says, give me a little bit of water, especially respectable people, if they visit your house, it doesn't mean immediately you go and fill up a tumbler with water and bring it there. Invariably it means this person must be hungry, we must give some eatables, maybe some sweets or maybe some savories, whatever it is, something must be given. But the tradition, that is to say, to welcome guests who come suddenly, not informing by email or WhatsApp application, etc. So, slowly that tradition had disappeared. Nowadays, of course, people look upon suspicion if an unknown person comes and knocks at our door. But anyway, we are telling this Janashruti, the king, especially he knows. And there is a tradition. And we have seen in Mundaka Upanishad also, so Samit Pani, he, one has to go carrying some firewood. We also discussed firewood means I am ready to sacrifice to put your teachings into action. That is the symbol, is called Samit Pani. So I will also serve you. Anyway, the Janashruti, what did he do? Upon being informed. Now we have found out where the bird was talking about this Raikwa, and we know where this Raikwa is. So sometimes I also get a little bit funny idea. Then the birds were talking about Sayugva Raikvaha. They could have also told, if they could understand the greatness of Raikwa and praising him to the sky, they could have told, you know, there is such and such a village, and in the southern side of that, or western side of that village, this great spiritual person is called Raikwa. They could have given that information, but anyway, we have to accept whatever it is there. So this immediately Janashruti. What did he do? Tadu ha Janashruti. Upon getting this information about Raikwa, this Janashruti, Pautrayanaha, that is the great grandson of a great king called Janashruti, what did he do? So he took with him, he started immediately, but then he did not go empty-handed. What did he do? Shat Shatani Gavam. So 600 cows, Nishkam, a golden necklace, Ashratari Ratham. So a chariot with drawn by mules, Ashratari. Ashra means horse, Ashratari means mule. Why? Because mules are more hardy, just like buffaloes. Many people prefer buffalo because it is less prone to diseases, more hardy. They can eat even the toughest of the grass in comparison with cow, which is much more delicate, like a gentleman. So, this a chariot drawn by mules, tat adaya, having gathered as gifts, as offerings to the would-be guru, prachakrame. That is, he started to go to meet this Raikwa. And he must have, it must have taken some time, we don't know, but the Upanishad carries tamha abhyavada. So, the attendant must have straight brought the king, guiding him to Raikwa. And then he approached him. What did he do? What did this king do? Tamha abhyavada. He made sashtanga pranams first, because you are going to be my guru. So, whether you know it or not, that I know you are going to be my right guru. Abhyavada. He prostrated himself. And then he addressed him, Raikwa, O great person, imani shat satani. So, he says, Gavamayam, these beautiful, milky 600 cows, Nishkaha ayam, and this beautiful golden necklace, and this chariot, Ashvatari Rathaha, drawn by mules. We don't know how many, probably 2 or 4, we don't know. So, what does it mean? I have brought as offering, this belongs to you, please accept. But then the king came to learn. What did he do? Anu, graciously, please accept these offerings, humble offerings of mine, may. That means these offerings belonging to me, etam. So please accept them out of your grace, because the type of knowledge you are going to impart to me, teach me, it, whatever I brought, is in no way comparable, but out of your grace, please accept. Bhagavaha, O Bhagavan, there is no equal word to this Bhagavan. God is called Bhagavan. But here it means Gurur Brahma, Gurur Vishnu, Gurur Devo Maheshwaraha, Bhagavan. So, Devatam Shadhihi. So, you teach me about the Devata. Which Devata are we talking about? Yam Devatam Tvam Upase Iti. Yam Devata. That Devata whom you have contemplated upon, you have attained your identity with that Virat Devata. Here it means Hiranyagarbha. So please teach me how I can also attain oneness with this Hiranyagarbha. This word Shadhi means command me. That is, I am your disciple. If you recollect, we get in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna, who argued for quite a long time with Bhagavan Krishna, Sishyasteham Shadhi Mam Tvam Prapannam. I take refuge in you. That is what it means. You command me. I am to be commanded. So, on getting the information, Janashruti Pautrayana took with him 600 cows, a gold necklace, and a chariot drawn by mules, and approached Raikwa. Having approached, Janashruti addressed Raikwa thus, O Raikwa, here are for you these 600 cows, this golden necklace, and this chariot drawn by mules. And now, Bhagavan, revered sir, instruct me about the deity whom you yourself have worshipped, contemplated, and became one with him. Now, what did Raikwa do? He did not immediately accept. So he said that he addressed him, a Shudra. We'll come to that point also. So he said, you go back. I don't want. All these things belong to you. They are yours. I don't want to accept. I refuse to accept. You go back. Now, the commentators tell us, sometimes gurus test. And then, only when they are satisfied, they will teach. So Raikwa is a great soul. Do you think that really Raikwa is longing for these things? So you bring some money and you bring some valuable objects to me. What is this Raikwa going to do with the golden necklace, with this chariot, and how is he going to feed these mules? Because mules also eat quite a good amount of food, grass, etc. Otherwise, his fate also will be like that Kaupin Kavaste. For the sake of a loin cloth, he can lose everything. No. The Guru was testing, like Sri Ramakrishna tested Narendra for 1 month. He did not even look at him. He used to turn away his face. It was all a test. How do we know? Ramakrishna said, I was testing. How strong is your bhakti towards me, your faith towards me? Anybody would have run away thinking that Sri Ramakrishna is not pleased. I am also not pleased with Sri Ramakrishna. So, if you don't talk to me, I will also not talk to me. But why do you come? Then Narendra, the great soul that he was, you know, you remember what he replied, sir, whether you want to speak with me or not, I don't care. I derive so much of joy in your company. So whether you look at me, whether if you get any happiness by looking at me, that is your fate. That is your botheration. But I am convinced. I get a lot of things from you. So therefore, I am not bothered whether you are pleased with me or not. I am getting what I want. So, this guru wanted to test most of the other gurus also to it. But then here, he said, what he said is, Aha, Hare, Hare, Tva Shudra. You're a Shudra. Now, the immediate meaning of the Shudra is that Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, the lowest caste. But no, The king was a great soul. Another meaning is supplied. Anyway, we have to accept that. Shudra means he who is afflicted the whole night, that how soon am I going to meet my future guru? How soon am I going to plunge into spiritual practice? How soon am I going to realize my identity with Hiranyagarbha? So, the king was afflicted. But afflicted with what? With a tremendous longing to meet his guru. Remember, in the life of Sri Ramakrishna, there was a time when Narendranath, even after being asked by Sri Ramakrishna, do you believe in the theory of Guru, Guru Brahma, Guru Vishnu? Flatly he said, until I know, I will not be able to say like other people, yes, yes, Guru is great, Guru is Brahma, Guru is Vishnu, Guru is Maheshwara. No, I must know for myself. And the same Narendranath, just one day, he could not stand at his home. Like a madcap, he ran. And even on the way, there were some haystacks. He brushed himself against them, and then he came back. So then, Sri Ramakrishna knew, now Narendra has become mine. I succeeded in making my own. How did he do that? Through his infinite love, infinite patience, and infinite prayer to the Divine Mother. That is called Narendra Sadhana. So this Janashruti was being tested. How keen, how sincere he was. And then he goes back. So we get the next two verses. Tam oha paraha hi abhyavada. So he went back. The Upanishad doesn't tell. He must have thought, after how many days, Janashruti again approached his future guru Raikva. We do not know. But then, this much we know, that he must have thought, why did my guru reject me? Because, do you think he can be tempted by this money, by these objects, everything? No. He wants to test me. He may do without me, but I will not be able to do without him. So, and then, maybe by God's grace, he also understood, his king had a daughter. That is the information we get in this second section, in the fourth mantra. Tam uha paraha hi abhyavada raikva idam sahasram gavam ayam nishko ayam ashvatari rathaha iyam jaya ayam gramo esme nase anu eva ma bhagavah shadhiti. The last line, just like the last mantra, last line of the third mantra. So he said, tam uha paraha. Again, Janashruti came back. This time, what did he do? So he came, he prostrated himself, did pranams, and he had Raikva, O Lord Bhagava. So, idam sahasram, I have brought 1,000 golden coins, sorry, 1,000 cows, gavamaya, and a golden necklace, and same chariot with drawn by mules. But this time, I also brought, I understood that you have been leading a brahmachari's life. Now you desire to lead a householder's life. So, I know how great a person you are. I am blessed that my daughter, or I can get her married to one of the greatest persons on earth. Iyam Jaya, this my daughter, she is a very good girl. She is not just because my daughter, she is worthy of being your wife. And not only that, if you become a householder, you require also some lands, some property. So, I am Gramaha, where you are staying. And not only that, even some other lands nearby, Esmin Asse, where you are. So, I am offering all these things. Anu Eva Ma Bhagavah Shadhi Iti. Please, out of your mercy, accept me as your student, sincere student. Please, do not reject me. Please, teach me about that deity whom you had contemplated and become perfect. This was the request. Now, Test 2, forestall. What is going to come? This time, Raikwa. By God's will, he must be wanting to be a house, leading a householder's life. He understood, and then he was pleased with the offerings of Janashruti, and then he said, yes, now I accept you. Now some questions that may pop up in our minds, that seeing the beautiful face of the young woman, maybe she is exceedingly beautiful, and so this brahmachari was moved. He was smit with desire, etc. Some of us may have those doubts, but it's a very interesting topic which I will talk about in our future classes. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. May the Ramakrishna Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.